Martin.
Hi, Nick. How are you?
Yeah, very good. Thanks. Yourself?
Yeah, I'm good. Thanks. Yeah, not bad at all.
Good, good. You were, after the last podcast we did, the short one, you said I sounded a bit down, but I can assure you I wasn't. I was just unprepared, I think.
Yeah. Well, no, you just sound a little bit down. I mean, I think like most people do these days in lockdown hell, it sounds it's a bit difficult.
Yeah, well, I usually listen to the previous podcast before, just to remind myself what we spoke about and what to ask you about and all that kind of stuff to keep you accountable and so on. But I hadn't got around to listening to the previous podcast, so I just felt a bit unprepared. And
I see.
I guess that came across as that.
I didn't think it, when I listened to it back myself, I didn't think you sounded down in the call, but just sort of general feeling I got. But never
mind. Maybe that is lockdown coming across as well, maybe.
Yeah, I think it probably is.
So thanks for sending the bacon set over and ingredients.
Oh,
send
yeah,
me a gift.
Yeah. No worries. Yeah. Hopefully that works out okay. Have you tried it yet?
No, saving it for the weekend.
Cool. Excellent.
So
yeah, so that was a gluten-free and vegan donut set, wasn't it?
Yes, I still haven't graduated past boiled eggs yet, so doing the baking the donuts will be interesting. It was funny because on the thing, it just says, cheers, Martin. And I know a couple of other Martins. So that's why I just said, oh, cheers for the baking set. And just left it at that just to double check it was you.
Brilliant.
Because if he came back and said, what baking set? I was like, oh, nothing, don't worry.
Yeah.
Check next, Martin.
Yeah. No, it's a coffee shop in Reading, Nibsies, that I used to go to whenever I went into town. And obviously with all the lockdown stuff, they've been closed most of the time. So I thought, try and help him out a bit. I'll buy one of these donut sets. And I thought, Nick, he's learning how to cook. So I sent it to you.
I was really intrigued because I hadn't ordered anything. And so I didn't have a clue what it was. So it was quite a nice surprise. Thank you.
Good, good. That's all right. Well, hopefully they'll turn out all right.
Well, I'll blame the kids if they don't.
Yeah, of course. Of course.
I realized when I was thinking about making some notes and stuff for the podcast, I think I realized this the other day. What I need is for the schools and for Sophie to go back. And then I think I would try more cooking stuff because I feel like if I'm doing it at the house at the moment, I feel under pressure, like I'm going to be judged by everybody. Whereas if the house is empty, as it normally would be during the day, then I can just whip up whatever I want to try and no pressure.
Yeah, that's probably true because it's not good having an audience either, is it, when you're trying to learn something new?
No, indeed not. It's funny because Robin Warren, our friend, was talking to me on Twitter saying, have you tried anything else yet? And he was saying surely your next thing should be do a Sunday roast. Mm. And I replied and I said, yeah, those pre-cooked chickens in Morrison's are amazing, aren't they? And he said he wasn't going to talk to me anymore after that.
That's fair enough.
But I brought him up as well because this is his birthday today. So happy birthday to Robin.
Oh, is it? Happy birthday, Robin.
Well, Facebook tells me it is. I assume Facebook is correct.
Okay. So yeah.
Let's hope. So yeah, still no news on schools reopening and so on yet.
No. Well, I don't think we'll find out until after half term. Obviously, we're recording on Friday, and so it's half term next week. Mm. At least around here it is anyway. I think most of the country it is as well. So yeah, I would imagine after half term, we'll probably get some inclination. But yeah, I'm not holding up my hopes. I'm thinking it's going to be Easter, probably.
Well, they said they'd give 2 weeks notice, didn't they? So
yeah.
Either way, it's going to be at least 2 weeks away. So
yeah. So, but you know, that's okay. I mean, as long as it is Easter, that should be okay. It's a bit of a hit for me, but you know, lots and lots of other people are worse off, so you can't complain too much.
I've been trying to stay off the news this week, so usually me and Soph have got into the habit of we watch box sets, like I guess most people do have been during lockdown and so on. So we'd watch one episode of our box set and then it'd always be around, you know, 10 to 10 by the time we finish up, and so we'd always say, oh, let's just watch the news headlines and so on.
Mm.
But I've been avoiding doing that now. So we finish the box set and just turn the telly off and go to bed. And just feel in a much better mood having not watched the news headlines before going to bed. And
I'm not surprised, actually.
Often, if I was drinking a beer or something, I'd watch the news and then watch Newsnight as well after it. And probably I didn't feel in a bad mood, but subconsciously you probably do get angry about all the stuff that's going on. And
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me at all. Yeah, I must admit, I've been refraining from looking at the news too much. I do still fall the same problem as you're talking about. It comes to about 10 o'clock, you just think, oh, I'll just watch the news headlines. and just track you in.
It's not a total news blackout, so I check the news during the day and stuff, but it's just there's no point in checking the news before going to bed, I guess.
No.
And I've been totally avoiding the government press conferences now. They were just a total waste of time.
Yeah, me too. I've completely ignored those for probably a month or so now. Mm. Yeah, but you know, it's got to keep going, haven't you?
Yep, indeed. Yeah.
Talking of which, how have things been going for you?
Yeah, good. The trials, because I started tracking the trials per day, so they've like February is looking better than January, so trials per day is going up, which is good.
Excellent.
So I can see that the marketing effort that I put in over December and January and so on is paying off. Got some stuff to want to do some stuff to improve the conversions a bit, so trial and getting more trials in and more customers. So one of them is a case study page. So as I've said before, there's two groups of people really that are using the product. I've got a case study page ready to go that kind of explains to one of these groups how, you know, their peers, I guess, are using SEOtesting.com. So I'm hoping that will work, get more trials in, and then once we're in the trial process, if they haven't seen that page still, you know, get more people to become a customer. But yeah, I've been really productive this week. So got lots of development stuff done. I've stayed off marketing this week because I've got a guest post that I need to write for another site, and I just really struggled with it last week. So rather than try and struggle with it again, I just thought I'd put it on the back burner for a week and get some other stuff done. So yeah, it's been good.
Good. So anyway, the case studies, how did you do those? Did you write them yourself, or did you get the customers to write them, or how did that work?
I got the customers to write them, so just asked them to send over a couple of paragraphs. I knew they were using, so I've got three different ways they're using the tool, and so I just said, you know, could you send me a couple of paragraphs on how you're using it and give me a bit of license perhaps to edit what you're sending over, if that's okay. You can obviously check it first before it goes live, what have you. And so yeah, so that's I've been sitting on it for probably about 3 or 4 weeks actually, the text. I just need to been waiting to get a page designed that looks better than just a wall of text.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this has all come from, again, doing that set of customer calls back in December, because, you know, from that, finding out how people are using the product and then, you know, getting a good relationship with the customers and so on, and asking them for a favor of just writing a couple of paragraphs. So yeah, it's been good.
Good. Well, while talking about contacting customers and for that sort of stuff, do you get testimonials as well?
I got four on the site already anyway, so I haven't been asking for any more testimonials. But yeah, I could do. I do see like some products now have got like almost, you know, like a whole, just a list of 30 testimonials with each having a sentence or two. But there's four on the site at the moment, but I may start adding some more.
Yeah. It springs to mind because I've got a few as well on the site, and I've been thinking about it more. Because what I did a while ago was I sent out a kind of a list of questions to a few customers, with the aim of the answers to those questions could then be formed into a testimonial. Mm-hmm. And that worked really well. I only got like four or five back from the ones that I sent out, but they were really good, you know, the testimonials. And I was just been thinking that it'd be good to refresh that and get some more in. So I just wondered if you'd done anything special around that. But
well, last time we spoke, you were working with your copywriter, weren't you? And we were discussing about maybe your copywriter speaking to some of your customers to pick up on language and so on and so forth.
Yeah, that hasn't happened. we've done the copy, finished the copy now, and I've uploaded it onto the website. So that's all done. Mm-hmm. Took longer than had hoped, but yeah, we got there. So I'm pleased with it, really pleased with it, in fact. It's funny, I kind of, when you hire somebody to do some work, I kind of had this dream of it being absolutely perfect, you know, not a word wrong and all the rest of it. And I don't think it's that, but it is a lot better than I would have written for one thing. So I'm pleased with it, and that's on there. The next stage really is about writing some more articles for SEO. And so I haven't broached the subject with her yet about contacting customers, but I've got a meeting this afternoon. So I might well do that and do a couple of interviews, because the case study thing that you mentioned is, I haven't got any case studies on the website, and that would be really good to do. So that would be a good footing as well, is to get some customers to do some case studies with the copywriter.
Mm.
So that might be a way in there. Yeah. So that's, I'll talk to you about that this afternoon.
It's funny that you say, I need to write some articles for SEO, because if you talk to most SEO people, they say, well, you should be writing articles to help educate your customers, not for SEO.
that is the intention. The articles will be useful for that, but it also will be geared around SEO.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, so my idea is to have kind of like content hubs, I think you'd probably call them, where it's a load of information around a subject with separate pages for sort of subsections of those of that content. And then those individual pages kind of are tailored towards particular keywords as well. That's kind of my intention in a sort of loose form.
Yeah. Just, well, the way I've approached it in SEO testing, just because it's most of the marketing stuff, I guess, on my site at the moment, the articles are all just support documents, but they're always how to do this, how to do that type things that are, you know, targeting people that have particular problems around SEO. And then it's like how to do it and how the tool helps you type thing. So I'm sure there's loads of things around kids, like around your sector, kids clubs and so on, like how to set up recurring billing for after school clubs and things like that, that, you know, you should have a support document about that and how to do it in your tool and so on. That would target those search terms as well.
Yeah, that's exactly the sort of thing that I'm going to be doing. So we've got a knowledge base with loads of stuff about how to do things in Kids Club HQ, but it's behind this sort of support system login.
Just make it all public.
Yeah, yeah.
You'd have loads of content then if you've got all this support documentation.
Yeah, I mean, I'd have to pull it from the useful thing about having it in the support system is that it's there in front of people as soon as they're looking for a problem, you know. I'd have to kind of duplicate it from there onto the website, which it's not a big deal. I can probably do that. Yeah, should be possible, I think, because it's just HTML, isn't it?
Ultimately, or just text, either way.
Mm.
How many articles have you got in your support doc?
Loads. I can't even think. 100, more than 100.
Wow. Martin, there's all that content there that you could have had on the website.
Yeah.
I've taken the approach of every support document or how-to thing is just a blog post for me. And then from within the tool, I link to that blog post.
Right. So do you have a support system where people go and try and find solutions to problems, that sort of thing?
There's a link from within the tool on the left-hand navigation called Support and Docs that has a list of them. And then if they click on that link, then it just takes them to the blog post.
That's a good way of doing it, yeah.
So it's a support document and it's also a marketing document as much as anything.
Yeah. I have got, I mean, a lot of the original, that's the way I did the original support documents. They were all on the website and those are still there. They're just, well, some of them will be about a date now, but the original ones are still there. But I should probably pull, I think we've had this conversation before, actually. I should pull them across. They've got an API. Maybe I can just hook it up automatically. Yeah.
Maybe. Are they the original ones that you're talking about, are they linked in to the site, as in is Google crawling them and finding them and so on?
Google is crawling them because I see they're getting hits in Google Analytics. So
right.
They are being found, certainly. Hmm. But they're not linked from the homepage or anything.
Right. Just link them up.
Yeah. Does that matter these days?
Yes, very much so.
So you have to link everything from your homepage?
No, from your homepage. But it has to be linked in somehow. First of all, so the user can find it. And secondly, so that Google can find it. Yeah. And it's still, SEO is still all about links, external links to your site and content and so on.
Yeah.
And it will pass, I hate using the term, but, you know, link juice or link equity around your site by having it internally linked.
What about your sitemap and stuff like that you submit to Google?
Yeah, you should do that as well. That helps Google find the pages to crawl, but it won't give any kind of ranking boost per se. It's all about, you know, the internal or the links to your site and then internally linking to pass that link juice around.
Right. Okay. So if you've got the pages in your sitemap, Google will index them.
Yeah.
But if you link to them within your site as well, that will give them more authority, I suppose.
Yeah. It'll improve their ranking. Yeah.
Right. Okay. That makes sense. Cool. Okay. Right. Just scribbled a note. Migrate all the knowledge base articles across.
Should be able to do that in 2 weeks. I'll check up on that in the next podcast.
Okay. I'll put an asterisk next to it then to make sure I do it.
It'd be pass this off to a support person to do.
Yeah, well, it'll be the API probably to try and pull the stuff out. But that's a fun job to do anyway, so I might enjoy doing that.
Well, look, if that is possible, then you can always just write some code to do that once a month or something.
Yeah,
and update any articles that are on.
That's what I'm thinking.
It's just your WordPress site or whatever.
Just have a mini app that does that and pulls them across. Yeah, cool.
Just don't start thinking about that as being another product that you then have to, something you can productize and launch.
No, although that is where my brain works these days. Every little thing. Oh, yeah. That could be a product.
So I've been thinking about what to do with SEO testing, it's, I guess, yearly goals and stuff like that. So it's at the point now, you know, being able to support one person full time, as in me. So the next question is, you know, what do I want to do with it from, you know, the future point of view?
Yeah.
And I kind of, on leaning towards the side of kind of, I guess, doubling down on it. I don't know if that's the right term, but and then kind of trying to grow a team around it. So I think it's definitely got the capability of growing to a decent size in terms of revenue that can support, you know, other team members. So I'm nearly at the point of signing up for Dan Martel's Growth Academy.
I don't know if you've watched
any of Dan Martel's videos, but
yeah, I have seen some of them.
I was listening to Rogue Startups podcast with Craig Hewitt, and he was interviewing Adi Pinar, who's built and sold a few SaaS companies, and he's a mentor, I think, for one of Dan Martel's courses. And it was interesting because Craig has been through Tiny Seed, but he was saying if he hadn't gone through Tiny Seed, he would have signed up for something like Dan Martel's coaching for the kind of accountability and the community and all those kinds of things. And if I was to go for something like, well, one that I've said before, you know, the thing that interested me about Tiny Seed and those things is the community of other people building products and stuff and learning off each other and so on.
Yeah.
And so like with Tiny Seed, it's not that I can't be bothered, but I just, because they've got their applications open at the moment, haven't they? Mm-hmm. And it's not that I can't be bothered, but I don't want the distractions of applying for that and going through the whole process of trying to do it when, you know, they get so many applications that the probability is probably like winning a lottery, I imagine.
It's US only as well, I think.
Yeah, I think you're right. I did inquire whether it's UK, and I'm sure they said yes this time, but I might be wrong, or maybe it was in the future. Right. I can't remember.
I spoke to Rob about it at the last MicroConf Europe, which was a couple of years ago now, but and he said that they, because of like the legal restrictions and the differences in you know, company law and all that between the different between UK and US, it wasn't something they could do at that time. Maybe they've been, you know, found a way of doing it. I don't know.
Yeah, so I was thinking if Tiny Seed isn't an option, one, because I don't want the time that goes into it and the distraction and so on, and because, you know, we can't because we're in the UK, then maybe just to go ahead and do something like Dan Martel's Growth Academy type thing. So they have like an onboarding, not an onboarding call, but like a sales call and all that kind of stuff. And so I'm in the process, probably this afternoon I might sign up to it. It's got a 30-day trial, so I kind of feel if I put myself fully into it for 30 days to see how it goes, then you know, you can make a decision towards the end of those 30 days as to whether you're going to get long-term value from it. But in terms of like growing a team, I can easily see some roles that I could take on people for. So three of the roles I'm thinking like I could easily fill now full-time would be someone to look after affiliates and partners, someone to do customer success stroke support, and then someone just working on content full-time as well, whether it's for, you know, the SEO testing site in terms of documentation and blogging, and then also, you know, outreach and creating content for other people's site that's related to what we do. If anybody wants to kind of invest in SEO testing in a Tiny Seed manner and give some money to take three people on, then and get in contact.
Cool. Oh, yeah, that sounds interesting. Yeah.
Not that that's going to happen. So, well, I doubt that will happen. So I am assuming it's going to be organic growth. And so go for Growth Academy, try and grow quickly as possible to, you know, the next stage where it can afford to take some people on.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's the key, isn't it? You get the growth and then you can take people on and then you get to the next stage of growth and so on and so forth.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah. Yeah. And I've been thinking also as well of other ways of getting revenue. So there's like SEOtesting.com has got an email address, book, whatever you'd call it, newsletter list from back when it was Sanity Check, people trialing it then and now SEO testing. And so I've just been thinking about other things that, you know, that audience would find interesting in terms of products to sell, whether it's SEO audits or courses in terms of SEO courses. And these are kind of bigger ticket items. But then if they did well, obviously the funds from those would help fund the other people to go into the product. But obviously doing any SEO audits takes time and takes time away from the product. And then creating any kind of training course would obviously take time away as well. But
yeah, I mean, you did do a bit of SEO work for a while, didn't you, as well, consultancy?
Yeah, and the side that I enjoyed of that was the SEO audit thing. So it's the ongoing stuff that I don't really enjoy, which is either the link building side or the content creation. But doing a kind of a technical SEO audit on stuff is good. I enjoyed doing that side of it. And so that would be the kind of thing I would look to offer and roll out with a product potentially.
Does that tie in with your market though? So isn't your market mostly towards the sort of SEO agencies, that sort of thing?
Yeah, so I thought I could do it as a white label service. So they can just say, you know, Nick Swan is doing it as part of Agency X or whatever. Or
yeah.
They don't tell a client that Nick Swan is doing it. It's just, you know, they get a report and badge it up as their own.
Yeah, because I could see sort of bootstrap companies appreciating that sort of service. Certainly I would, you know, somebody to come in and say, right, this is your current state of SEO. These are the things you need to be measuring. These are the sorts of things you need to do, that sort of stuff. Yeah. That would be invaluable, really. But of course, if that's not your target market for the product, then maybe that doesn't work so well.
Well, no, there is a, it's that they would fall into the bucket of in-house SEO and agencies, really, I guess. It just so happens that, you know, the bootstrap people have got many different hats on, but
so
I'm considering it. It's just, it's a whole chicken and egg thing, isn't it? At the moment, me doing an audit will take time away from the product. So
yeah,
don't know. That's where I like it. It is the tiny seed quite situation or tiny VC or whatever the other ones are called, earnest capital and so on. You know, it is appealing of just getting a lump sum of money that you can hire these three people that you know will lead to immediate growth and so on. That's where that would be appealing, but I guess we've got limited options being in the UK.
Yeah, I mean, there must be something around, but probably not quite as advanced as the tiny seed type stuff.
I should have done is taken a big bounce back loan on offer from the UK government.
Yeah. Although you say big, it's a percentage of revenue, isn't it?
So, is it? Oh, okay.
Yeah, so it depends on what revenue you've got as to how much you can borrow. It's a bit annoying, but there you go.
They're all closed now, aren't they? I think they closed at the end of January, didn't they?
I'm not sure, to be honest. I got one. I've not used it, but I got one. And it's due to be paid back in May, although I've heard that may be extended. It's not due to be paid back. It's due to start paying interest. So I'm thinking about whether to use it to invest in the sort of stuff you're talking about, hiring some people to do some work to try and move things faster and get some growth going, or whether it's best to not to just pay it back and not worry about it, you know, because there's always the risk of you spend all the money on people and work on the product and then it doesn't make a difference, you know, and then you've still got to pay the money back. But if it helps the product grow, then obviously it's a no-brainer, because then you've got the money, the additional revenue to pay the loan back at the end of the day. So yeah, so I'm mulling that over myself.
Yeah, I have no answer for you.
No, I don't expect an answer. It's a tricky one. You just kind of got to decide whether to go with it or not.
How's your developer working out? Because I thought you were kind of doing it anyway. I thought that's how you were funding your developer, and I assumed copywriter to a bit as well, a certain degree.
Yeah, I mean, well, I wasn't intending to use the bounce back loan for that, but I was intending to use revenue to cover that. So there's probably enough. Well, there is enough revenue coming in to cover them, but then, you know, the amount of money I can take then goes down. That's the issue. So the developer's working out really well. It's still finishing off the upgrade of Laravel now, which was the big task he was doing, because it was so far out of date that it needed a lot of work. It's now done, and we're just in the phase of testing it to make sure nothing's broken and everything still works. And then I've got to set up the live environment with the new versions of everything. So probably another week or so, I reckon, before that's live. But that'll be amazing when that's done, because it's just been a weight on, it'll be a weight off my mind. It's been something that's been bothering me for a long time. So that'll be good. Mm. And also what that does is it frees him up from doing that to do some feature work. Now I've only got him part-time. He's not full-time, which is the issue. So we need to work out the way he's working on the upgrade is a bit sort of piecemeal, kind of like 3 or 4 hours here, 3 or 4 hours there throughout the week. And I'm not sure whether that would work so well if he's actually doing feature development. So I just need to plan out exactly what I wanted him to do and then have a conversation. I'm 90% sure it's going to work out. Just need to get to that stage, hopefully next week, maybe the week after. Cool. Yeah, I mean, I'd really like to have him. He's really good. So I'd really like to have him full time. If I was going to, you know, spend all of that money to develop features with a developer, I'd like to have him full time, but I'm not sure that's going to be possible. Just because he's got other commitments, that's the main.
Right. I got you. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah, it's exciting. I mean, it's funny you mentioned that you've kind of got your mojo back this week, because I kind of feel similarly. I've been feeling a bit sluggish for a while now. Well, for the whole of this year so far, but it seems like the last couple of days I've got a bit of a swagger back, if you like, and I feel like quite positive about things again. That's always good.
Yeah, I think mine is because I've stayed off alcohol this week.
Have you?
Yeah, it's probably why I've got more done, been more productive, and so I feel better about myself.
Yeah, that does help. Yeah. I think actually maybe because I got this the updated content on the website live on Wednesday. And so that probably is what sort of spurred me on a bit as well. It's always nice to get a big job done and out of the way.
Mm.
Yeah.
Cool. Been doing any running or anything? It's a bit cold outside, isn't it?
It's freezing. Yeah. It's freezing. Although it's really glorious sunshine here today, but it's still cold. No, I've just been sticking to the once a week at the moment. I keep intending to do more, but just get out to do a 5-10K, not a 10K, 5 or 6K once a week. That's it. Yeah. How about you? I've seen a couple of bike rides pop up on Strava.
Yeah, more than a couple. I've been Zwifting in the garage, and I've only been outside once on a bike, and that was last Saturday. This week I wouldn't even try because it's just too cold. It's the wind, isn't it? It's just a chill factor from the wind. It goes, it's like 2 degrees or 4 degrees, and yet it takes it down to feels like -9, it says on the weather app. So I'm not going anywhere in that weather or that coldness. So, yeah, it's in the garage on Zwift mostly, and just been trying to get the time and days in, I guess. I do feel so much better after doing it. And funnily enough, probably one of the reasons I feel a bit more jovial today is because I had a coffee an hour before the call, or before we're talking now. And coffee is the key to getting me on Zwift as well, because if it wasn't for that, I'd just feel sluggish, can't be bothered. But if I have a coffee an hour before I'm going to go on Zwift, I've just got so much more energy and motivation to go and sit on my bike for an hour in a garage that that seems to be the key for me.
Oh, that's good. Do you generally not drink caffeine then?
I drink loads of tea, but no coffee unless I need a boost. And so coffee does give, because I'm not used to it, coffee does give me a real good kick.
Oh, that's good. But I switched to decaffeinated coffee because I used to drink loads and loads of caffeinated coffee, which is not good. I switched to decaf, and I've this past couple of weeks, I've started to introduce a few more caffeinated coffees myself.
There you go. That's why you're feeling more motivated and happy as well.
May well be. I'm caffeine dependent, obviously.
Yeah. That's funny. I was going to say about the amount of podcasts I'm subscribed to now. Because I got a warning on my phone the other day that I'd run out of storage. And it's because of all the podcasts I'm subscribed to and all the ones that are downloaded waiting for me to listen to.
When do you have time to listen
like
to them?
Well, I was going to say this is like my new inbox hell. The stress of having 27,000 hours of podcasts to try and get through. I could listen to every single podcast and I still wouldn't get to the end by the time I die, probably.
God, yeah, that's crazy. I cut down on my podcast listening. Loads. I've got about 3 that I listen to now occasionally.
Oh God, I've got about 20 I've subscribed to, but I still probably listen to just 3 as a regular thing. But there's always a fear of missing out, I guess, in terms of I want to say subscribe just in case there's like a real critical episode. But what I should do is just not be automatically downloading every episode and just scroll through and check every now and again and download the ones I want to listen to, which I do for a few. But I just need to take that as a general rule, I think.
I think so. That's probably a good plan.
Yeah.
I generally try and play the odd podcast while I'm working, which is okay, but I either phase it out into the background so I never pick up on anything they've talked about, or I get engrossed in it and stop doing any work. So it doesn't really work for me.
Yeah. Anyway, or just buy a phone with more storage on.
Yeah, that's the other option.
I'll just delete all my family photos. Oh, I need more podcast space. Right, that's me done. I've gone through my prepared list of things.
Yeah, the only other thing I've got on my list was, so last time I was talking about, I put in a load of automated reminders for people that hadn't paid.
Yeah.
And I am so glad I did that. It's been awesome. I've had loads and loads of people paying up. There weren't that many that were late payers, but the percentage of late payers that have paid up in the past couple of weeks has been amazing. It's been fantastic.
Mm. Why you're feeling happier and more jovial.
Yeah, it probably is. It probably is. And that was one of those things. I mean, there was definitely a hurdle to get over because I had to make sure that the historical invoices were all, reconciled and everything was tickety-boo, if you like, in the database. Otherwise, it would have been reminding people that didn't need reminding, that sort of thing. But once I got over that hump of doing that and making sure everything was okay, it's been running, touch wood, really smoothly. And like I say, it's been reaping dividends in terms of the people that are paying up. So it's excellent.
Is that another bottleneck squished?
Yes.
Out of the way.
That's
excellent.
A really good one squished as well, because that was the creator of lots of stress.
Mm. Nice.
Cool. Yeah, so a good note to end on.
One more thing for me to recommend is Chartmogul.
Chartmogul, I've heard of it.
Similar to Bear Metrics and ProfitWell, where it does analytics on your Stripe data, or whatever payment system you use, for example. And it's free for businesses that are under $10,000 monthly recurring revenue, which I fall into, hopefully not for too long. but it does, it thankfully does alerts when cancellations come in, which Stripe doesn't automatically do via email, which drives me absolutely insane. So now I've actually got a way of finding out when people cancel, because I didn't want to pay for bare metrics, to be honest.
Right, fair enough.
Yeah. But yeah, try ChartMogul, it's brilliant. And also what it does, so with Stripe, so you can't, I was going to say, because Stripe has its own little dashboard where it has monthly recurring revenue and all those kind of things. And say you have a customer that subscribes to a product by mistake, say they subscribe to the wrong plan, you have to go in and cancel it and then like set up a note, then you tell them to go subscribe again or something like that maybe, although you could add a new subscription. But anyway, if you did cancel the customer and then they create themselves another one, that would count as churn, whereas it's not really, because they just made a mistake and they've gone in and corrected it and so on, but they're seen as two different customers and one of them churned. But with ChartMogul, you can just go and delete that customer, and so then it doesn't count as being a, like against your churn and so on. So I've actually got quite accurate churn numbers now for the first time in a long time. So
that's good.
And it makes it lower than what it was as well. So that's always nice.
It's always a bonus.
Yeah, indeed.
Cool.
Right.
Cool. I hope you have a good weekend then. Enjoy the donuts.
Yeah, I'm going to go jump on Zwift so that I can eat the donuts once they're made.
All right, then. Cheers, Nick.
Cool. All right. Thanks, Martin.
See ya.